we praise God for that wonderful hope. Let us turn this morning to the 8th chapter of Romans. Romans 8, we will begin with verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption or the sonship, that is, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Over the next few weeks, I want to bring forth a number of messages under the title we have here in verse 24, Saved by Hope. That little word, saved, means to deliver, means to protect, means to preserve. And the first thing we understand and know about it is it refers to far more than just initial salvation or deliverance from the guilt of our sins, and indeed the preservation, the deliverance from the torments of hell. It rather includes any deliverance. And we know that deliverance is not only from, but deliverance to. And so there are many, many expressions, many specifics in regard to being saved or salvation in our experience throughout this lifetime. I also want to notice that there is no contradiction here with what Paul says in verse 24. We are saved by hope. We very well remember and know the scripture from Ephesians 2. By grace are you saved through faith. I want to emphasize, and hopefully we see all of this as we go through these messages, that hope and faith are almost like twin sisters. They bear the same characteristics. They have the same results of salvation. And we see that even here. Verse 25, well, we notice in verse 24, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? In verse 24, verse 25, but if we hope for that we see not. Remember the definition of the word faith. We get this from Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we find out that once again, salvation can be attributed to both of these, and bringing in, of course, saved by divine grace. The message this morning, again, an introduction to a number that we will bring forth in the next few weeks. I want to enlarge today on the object, that is the focus or the source of the hope that we have, which we will discover is God Himself. We'll not turn to all of these. I suggest you take them down for reference. They are indeed wonderful, because they express the God of hope, which God has given unto us. Romans 15:13, we read, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope. That's through the power of the Holy Ghost. David had this testimony, and we see it repeatedly throughout Psalms. Psalm 38:15, David says, in thee, O Lord, do I hope. And then again, as we have seen recently in various messages, David speaking to himself or to his own soul, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Those same words are written almost verbatim three times in Psalm 42 and 43. It's an emphasis on what David is talking about, hope thou in God. And then in Psalm 71:5, we read this, thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my, notice, trust from my youth. Again, faith and hope brought together. And this is something that, as we read here, David had done all his life. I want to also notice how that Paul concludes in 1 Timothy 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. The point of this, all of these scriptures, is to show that our hope is in God Himself, rather than any specific deliverance. Yes, we hope for salvation, we hope for deliverance, but I want to emphasize in this introductory message to hope that we realize the hope must be in God Himself. That simply means that we must leave all the detail of our deliverance unto His hands. That is, we must leave everything at His discretion, not just evaluating whether we get what we want, the deliverance we would have at the time we would like. Our hope is in God. And so we leave all the specifics and ever the ramifications concerning that, we must leave it in His hands. The context of this particular hope, where Paul mentions it here in Romans 8, as we see, you will notice that he said, we're saved by hope. But if you back up to verse 23, he is speaking of a particular hope, a particular deliverance, a particular salvation, so to speak. Verse 23, we ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, notice, waiting for the adoption or the sonship, that is, the redemption of our body. And this is the great hope that we have, even as they sang in the song, the hope that we have of the coming of the Lord. We know that we're going to be taken out of this world and into glory. And it is at that time that we will have, that we will realize that this hope of a glorified body will be actually fulfilled. But as noted, and we will emphasize throughout these messages, there are many times in our lives that we are saved by hope, and so many different expressions of that. I want to turn this morning to the second chapter of Ephesians, because this is where hope begins for everyone. Doesn't matter who we are, as Paul says, Jew, Gentile, bond, or free, it doesn't make any difference. Everyone is introduced to the God of hope for exactly the same reason. Ephesians 2, and let's go down to verse 11. Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. And so it is that all of us came into this world in this condition, no hope, without God in this world. But the beauty of it is, verse 13, but now. And as we have seen so many times, this indicates that there is a drastic change coming, and God has made that change for us. And so we read, "But now in Christ, you which were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." I want to again emphasize what we were as to what we have now. Being afar off is beautifully expressed in the first three verses of Ephesians 2. "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Once again, that applies to every person that is ever born into this world. All are dead in trespasses and sins. "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," which is Satan, "the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Then we read again, verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy." And so there is a glorious change coming. And if you skip back down to verse 14, well, let's read again verse 13. "Now in Christ Jesus, what you were," we understand that. And it's summed up by saying in these previous verses, "You were without hope and you were without God. But God has come on the scene, changed all of that. Now we're made nigh," that means nigh unto God, "by the blood of Christ." And then in verse 14, "He is our peace, who hath made both one," that is Jew and Gentile, "hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, which was indeed the law." I want to concentrate for just a moment here on the fact that He is our peace. There is peace with God, and Scripture tells us of the peace of God. This particular portion is actually speaking of the peace with God. We'll not turn there, but in Romans 5:1 we read this, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." When the Scripture says we have peace with God, it means that we are no longer enemies of God. We are no longer afar off, as we have already discussed, has already been beautifully portrayed here by the Scripture. That indeed is a thing of the past. And so we were afar off. We were enemies of God. And I say again, that includes everyone. One good expression, illustration of this, and you will find it in Romans 5:10. Paul says it this way, "If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God." That's when God began to act, is when we actually were enemies of God, were reconciled by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. This began with Adam and Eve right there in the Garden of Eden. After they had partaken of the forbidden fruit, there was a separation from God because of their sin. And they must be restored, which is exactly what God did. I say again, this is true. The separation that Adam and Eve experienced is true of every individual. Why? Because that all men have sinned, and it is sin that separates men from God. But God was not at a loss, as we have seen so many times. Jesus is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, before sin even entered the world. God had the remedy on hand in order to reconcile us, and as we see in this terminology, give us peace with God. Contrast what we have, as we read, having no hope, as we saw there in verse 12. And now then, the hope has been realized. The hope has come to pass. I want to turn back to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 24, once again. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Keep that thought in mind. We have already seen from Ephesians, once a person has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, he has eternal life. Once a person has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the guilt of his sins is gone. Once a person has accepted Christ as his Savior, hell is no longer standing in front of him. This is what I want to understand here. Yes, we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. It is such a shame that some people in our day who do not see, do not believe, do not accept eternal life, they are still pursuing a hope that they already have. But the scripture tells us, hope that is seen, that's no longer hope. You're no longer looking for that. And yet there are those who spend their entire lifetime trying their best to obtain something that they already hold in their hand. Now the tragedy of that is when they use all of that time to get something they already have, they're letting other hope go that they should be pursuing in their own lives and in their own experience. They never realize that there is so much more ahead of them than just being saved from hell. God has gone so much further when He reconciled us, when He brought us back unto Himself. As we noted, we are no longer enemies of God. But let's understand this. At that moment, we really cannot be classed as the friend of God either. You know how long Abraham walked with God before he was called a friend of God? The friend of God is a sign of a man of experience who continues to believe God, who continues to believe and pursue the hope in God that we have seen and we will see more as we go in these messages. And he finally attained to that very close place of intimacy. That should be a hope that every one of us have, is to be in that place of not just being a child of God or no longer an enemy of God, but rather an intimate friend of God. I want to notice in closing these last couple of verses. Again, verse 24, we're saved by hope. That is the theme, and that is the salvation we will be going into in these following messages. But hope that is seen is not hope, as noted. What a man seeth, why is he yet hoping for it? But if we hope for that we see not. The newborn believer has so many things in front of him that he can hope for if he will but reach out and put that hope in God for everything that the Lord has. Then do we with patience wait for it. Then we find from verse 26 that we have a grand and glorious helper in this matter. Likewise, the Spirit also help us our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. And that is exactly true. This is why that our hope has to be in God. We have to leave that decision in His hand as to what comes our way. You know, I thought of Job in this matter. The word hope is mentioned throughout the book of Job, but in this particular instance, 19th chapter of Job, in the middle of his difficulty, in the middle of his trial, he had suffered already so much at the hands of his comforters. He suffered at the hand the accusations of Satan himself. He suffered in body. But at that time, in the midst of all of that, we read these words, I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and in my flesh I shall see God. That is hope in the middle of some very difficult circumstance. And this is the same thing, that the pattern that we also can follow, knowing that He knows what to pray for, He knows what to ask for, He knows how to deliver, even though that deliverance may not correspond with what we had in mind. And so the Spirit helps our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He which searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. That is, He is in harmony with God. And so today, as we come to the conclusion of this message, let us remember that, yes, we are saved by hope. But it means we must put our trust, our confidence in the God of hope, and not just thinking that the deliverance itself is what we're looking for. We are looking to the God of hope in order to provide the salvation we need at any particular time in our experience. Shall we sing?